This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. So imagine a world where almost every town is flooded, where most people are living in temporary shelters, and it is unclear what has caused the flooding or if the waters will recede anytime soon, and the government is being anything but transparent about what's going on. That's the plot of a new play from Women's Theater Festival called Waters Rise. The play is, in fact, a comedy, and it uses humor to tackle the heavy moral and ethical questions surrounding climate change. Playwright Justine Wissinger joins me now. She's a professor of Japanese at Bates College in Maine. Justine, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you here. Tell us about the plot of Waters Rise.
Right, so I think you pretty much nailed it. There, for reasons that are unclear to the general population, water levels have been rising recently, and there are promises through the media and from the government that this level is not going to change very much in the future, but characters start learning more throughout the course of the play, and then they have to make these tough choices about what they're going to do with the information that they uncover.
And talk about the inspiration for this play. I know, I understand that you were inspired to write this after spending some time in Tokyo.
Right. I've spent about 3 years of my life in that area, and as a researcher, as a professor, my research centers on the film and theater that comes out of the 2011 disasters, which included an earthquake, a tsunami that was devastating, and a nuclear disaster in Fukushima that I think many Americans may remember. I have lived in Japan in 2008, 2009, 2011, 2012. I went there right after the disasters, and I lived there for a year. And then I returned in 2015, and through my research, it became clear to me that the power that is generated in Fukushima isn't used by the people who live in Fukushima. That nuclear power plant goes directly into Tokyo instead. Now, Tokyo doesn't have to bear the risks of that that nuclear power plant. Those are borne by people who are rural, people who are older, people who have less social capital. And when I realized that, I realized that I myself, having lived in the Tokyo area, was complicit to a certain degree in asking those people to bear the risks of my comfortable urban lifestyle. And that made me start to question my complicity in other systems and behaviors that operate not just in Japan but worldwide that contribute to things like climate change and creating disasters and dangerous situations for people with less power in the world.
Yeah, therein lies the tragedy and the paradox of climate change and other disasters that are right in our face, impossible to deny if you have any wit. And yet, part of the problem in dealing with this, as you pointed out, is our own complicity. It's easy to point fingers at deniers, but then you realize, well, to what extent does my consumption contribute to this? And if I'm not owning up to that, maybe I'm a denier too. So you came to this in a very difficult way, right?
Yes, and it's painful to confront these questions and to really ask ourselves in difficult ways how we are contributing, what we are doing to change the situation, and if our strategies are at all effective. And so that's part of what this play is exploring.
So that's the genesis of the play. Then you write a play that really has a heavy dose of humor. I mean, this play is really a comedy, right?
It is. I think it's very funny. I heard lots of laughs when I visited to see it on Saturday. So I would call it a comedy. All the women in it get laughs and are funny.
Yeah. And talk about it. Was that something that you, I mean, I hope you intended this. and so if so, was it a strategic in your mind or kind of the only way you could possibly write about this? Why did you land on comedy as the choice, you know, in terms of the style that you wrote this play in?
Yeah, I think there are three reasons why I wanted to use comedy. And one of those is just to tackle and lay bare the absurdity of a situation like this. As you mentioned, most of us know that something like this is going on, even if it's not as overt as it is in the play. We're aware that we have problems and we fail to confront them. So I think there is something inherently absurd and therefore funny in a way about people behaving illogically and making bad decisions. Bad decisions are funny. And I think if we can confront the fact that they are funny, maybe that can help expose them a little bit. Another reason I use comedy is because I think a lot of times we are defensive about topics like this, especially when it comes to interrogating our own roles in crises like this. So comedy, I think, helps to open people up when we start laughing. I think we become more receptive to emotion in general and to feeling together and thinking together about things. So I think comedy helps people open their minds and be receptive in that way. That's important to me. And finally, I mean, it's just a coping mechanism, right? We all have to admit a certain amount of humor when we deal with these very painful issues. It's the only way we can get through. And a lot of the people in Japan who are writing plays about their disasters use comedy, too, in quite effective ways.
So introduce us to the characters in this play.
Well, we've got Sarah, who is our main protagonist, perhaps, and she is a fairly competent woman. She is no-nonsense, very practical. There's also her friend Holly, who spends a lot of time with her. Holly knows a lot about climate issues. She is a vegan. She has a certain ethic with which she approaches life, but there are some contradictions in there. Then we have Magda, who lives not far away from there, and she is quite independent. She lives a much less demanding lifestyle, planetarily speaking. She doesn't have electricity. She does hard organic farming by herself. She tries to convince these younger women to join her, but her lifestyle is not very appealing to them, and she may not have all the answers either. Then there's this character, the suit. She represents corporate and government interests, and she has a very slippery way of using language and withholding information in order to get the results that she wants to support mostly powerful people. And then we have the character of the other, which is a very mysterious being that we learn a lot more information about throughout the course of the play.
Well, let's learn even more about these characters and the production now on stage at Women's Theater Festival. I'm talking to Justine Wissinger, who's the playwright behind the new production at Women's Theater Festival, Waters Rise. Now I'd like to bring in the production's director, Ashley Popio. Ashley, welcome back.
Hello, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about your choice and why you selected this play.
Well, one of the reasons why I thought that this play was so interesting was that it was a comedy. When we had it at our Occupy the Stage staged reading event, audiences were rolling in the aisles. It was a really good, fun look at a topic that so many people are uncomfortable about that they're not willing to discuss. So if you can take a topic like that and make it silly, make it funny, make it interesting in that way, then you can get folks to listen to you when they might otherwise not be interested.
When this is done well, it is certainly a challenge for the writer, and Justine has passed that test. And then the director, again, you know you're dealing with something that's important. This is life and death. We're not messing around here. And yet, as Justine pointed out, and I think as artists have learned throughout the ages, that's when we really let down. If we're using humor, that's when the barriers come down and when a lot of learning gets done. How do you approach a subject like this and a play like this, knowing that you sort of got these things in tension?
Well, it certainly helps to cast the right people, and the cast that we've got on this show is a very talented group of people who've dedicated themselves through all sorts of struggles to make it come together. And so I'm extraordinarily grateful for the amount of time and effort that they've brought to the project. But also there's a level of trust there. If you tell an actor, for comedic timing, you're going to have to wait 2 seconds after this very serious line to give the audience a chance to react and realize that it's also a very funny line. And so getting that kind of trust is crucial to the process.
Well, let's bring in a couple of those actors from the production, Jessica Fleming and Laurel Ullman. Jessica is a member of the Play Reading Committee, and Laurel is literary manager for Women's Theater Festival. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Laurel, talk about your first impression when you read this play.
Well, I actually saw that Jess had read it and rated it very highly. And based on her little summary and reactions to it, I thought, well, I need to read this right away as well. We don't always have the luxury of having multiple readers for submissions. It just depends on the number. But she had rated it so highly that I had to read it. And like Ashley, I found it to be very witty, very, very funny, intriguing characters. It didn't answer as many questions as it raised, which is always a really good sign for me reading a play. I don't really want to be told what to think. I want to be stimulated to think about things in a new way or learn new things. And it's something that I thought audiences would really enjoy.
Well, let's talk about the space, Jess, that this is, you're going to stage this play, Shadowbox Studio in Durham. It's a small, intimate space, right?
It is. It is a small space. But I think that actually really helps us with this production. The whole set and play takes place in a small, improvised shack, basically. So kind of bringing the audience with us in this idea that this is a confined space, this is a different space, this is an unusual space, and having that proximity to the audience in these very nuanced, uncomfortable moments, I think really shares the kind of beauty and some of the ugly, squishy parts, too.
Well, Justine, I mean, talk about that, because this is, in a way, a real blessing, because one of the geniuses of the play is that The people we're watching are in this confined space. There's danger all around them. And then the big wide world outside of this box, full of information that they can't really believe they're getting. And so there's a big wide world outside this box that is not allowing them access to the information that might prove helpful. It seems like it almost acts as a character in the play, Justine.
Yes, that's something actually that I shared with the actors and Ashley, the artistic director, about what I liked about this production so much was the way that they used space and the way that it did feel enclosed. And I talked at the talk back last weekend about how I felt that one of the main thrusts of this play is about the atomization of people and their failure to link up to larger networks in some ways. And I think we can feel that in a small space, especially how we get wedded to our tiny, tiny spaces and our individual holdings, and how that can sometimes not help us to deal with big issues like climate change.
Well, I wonder if we can get a sample of this play. We're talking about Waters Rise, and I wonder if we can hear one of the scenes from the play. You want to set it up for us? Laurel?
Sure. I play The Suit, and this is my character's first appearance, the first time that Sarah and Holly have met this character who remains unnamed, coming to their home. Good afternoon. Can I assume that you are Sarah Hunter?
That's right. Who are you?
I'm glad that you asked. We try to remind citizens that they are always entitled to ask.
Just what is this about?
That's great. An educated consumer always asks plenty of questions to stay well informed.
Consumer of what?
Our records indicate you've been a good consumer in most respects.
I don't want you keeping track of what I'm buying.
I'll make a note of that.
So you came all the way out here to tell me that I'm good at shopping?
Of course not, but it's certainly appreciated.
Why are you here?
First of all, I wanted to commend you on the steps you've taken in securing this shed for temporary residence. According to our projections, it should be more than adequate to weather any lingering effects of the rising water level.
Okay.
And we can certainly understand why a dry, well-built cabin with all the consumer comforts would attract the less prepared. But we wanted to remind you of our policy, even though we have no reason to believe you wouldn't be familiar with it.
Why don't you remind me?
As I think you know, it is our policy not to allow two unmarried women to live together.
Who says we live together?
This one has been seen spending more than an appropriate amount of time here.
She's been seen?
You object to the passive voice.
I object to being spied on. This is stupid.
Don't be argumentative.
This is my house.
So you admit you understand the policy?
No, I do not understand the policy.
At least we can agree that you are aware it exists.
But it makes no sense.
Just because it doesn't suit you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense.
Laurel Ullman and Jessica Fleming performing a scene from the new play Waters Rise from Women's Theater Festival, which you can see at Shadowbox Studios in Durham tomorrow through Sunday. And you can find out details for those performances at our website, stateofthings.org. The playwright is with us as well, Justine Wissinger. And there it is. I mean, the I agree, but you've seen our agreement. I don't understand the agreement. Well, do you agree? I agree. I press I agree. And then we're complicit. It's beautiful stuff, really. Actually, you needed more than, we needed 4 and 8 seconds, which would have killed the timing, but it was hilarious stuff. How much, Justine, let me ask you about this. When you're writing a play like this and you've got all these ideas kind of swimming through your head, you can't help but have the ideas. Do you have to sort the sort of ideology from characters? Do the characters take over? Talk to me about your process a little bit.
Oh, gosh, that's an excellent question. Certainly there are these voices that I have in my head that come from the world and they come from me as well. And I often try to think of how I think a reasonable person would respond to unreasonable things that they are being asked to do or being told are the case. I finished this play in 2015, but I think since then, I've seen some of the type of dialogue that I've written in this play get borne out in the political theater, and that's been very interesting as well.
Yeah, you talked about the atomization of humans. Sort of all of our biological relations have been destroyed by this kind of, by our political economy. And the way we're allowed to participate communally is in a commercial market space. So if we pay for it, we can go to theaters. Go to the theater. Mm-hmm. Go to the theater, buy a ticket. But in public spaces where you got to pay for the entertainment, pay to be together, or pay on digital platforms, and all the stuff we used to do like barn raisings where bodies came together has been atomized. It's beautiful stuff, but also a paradox. And I would think that's why I asked you about your process, because it does seem to me that it's a struggle to keep human beings alive when all these ideas are racing through your head. It's great stuff. Great stuff. Ashley, what have you heard from audiences so far?
So far, audiences have given us such positive responses. In fact, many of them stick around after the show to kind of talk to each other. It's been an interesting phenomenon that I've witnessed, that folks seem to bond over the show and want to stay and have conversations with each other afterwards. There's a lot of laughing, but also the show ends on a note that is disturbing, and folks seem to want to stick around and talk about that.
Yeah, well, again, once you've opened up and kind of let that humor vein sort of vibrate through your body, it can be even more compelling. Talk to us a little bit more about Women's Theater Festival. You've been around for 4 years now. What's the trajectory? Because you've changed a little bit your style. You used to kind of clump all your productions together. Now they're spread out throughout the year.
This is our first year that we're hosting what we're calling our main stage season, which is productions that are fully produced and professional that are produced throughout the season. We've got 4 that we're doing this year, and Waters Rise is the first. This is a little bit different from our original format, where we had all of our festival events happen during the same month-long period. Or over this past year, we decided to instead do a weekend that was filled with fringe shows and staged readings and panels and educational experiences and children's programming. That took 3 days. There were 48 fully produced shows as a part of that.
So you're growing?
Indeed, we are, almost faster than we can stand.
Well, and Justine, let me ask you, because they're all women who are cast in this play, so it speaks to now that we're seeing more of this kind of writing and given more opportunities for different kinds of roles for women, it seems to me. And I wonder if you see things opening up, and if that's what you had in mind, at least in part, Justine, when you wrote this play.
Yes, it absolutely is. I think that my goals for this play really align with what the Women's Theater Festival is doing, which is one of the reasons that I was excited to produce the play with them. One of the things I wanted to do was to create a new type of role for women, or not new, but an underused type of role. As somebody who does theater as a woman, I wanted to see more roles in the world that let women be funny, and I think each of these women is funny in a very particular way, in their own way, which is really special. And I also wanted to create the opportunity for women to take action and get angry about things that have nothing to do with romance or home life. Well, home life in a very specific kind of way, but nothing to do with family and maintaining a romantic relationship, but that are bigger than that individual question. And the other reason that I wanted to do this work as something centered around women is that women have stepped forward quite a bit as leaders in activism and calling for change when it comes to climate issues. We have people.
Well, I'm going to have to stop you there and talk about the play Waters Rise. Say I'm talking to Justine Wissinger, who's the director, who is the writer, and Ashley Popio is the director. And you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. There's more to come. Stay tuned.